Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to the World Transform. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Well, here at the end of another week of blogging goodness, I'm doing really good. Doing real good.
It's been a hard week. It's been a challenging week, I have to say. You know, we spent the first 2 days of the week trying to answer unanswerable questions. I usually feel by Friday we've made more progress in explaining the world to everybody than we have this week. But we thought we would, for those just joining, Monday and Wednesday we went over a list of unanswerable questions from futurist Thomas Frey and came up with no real answers to any of them. We did do some rephrasing a few of the questions. I feel like that was helpful. And tonight we're going to double down by coming up with our own unanswerable questions. We're going to throw unanswerable questions at each other and see if we can answer each other's, and then we'll probably have a minute or two for some other geek as well. So do you want to kick this off, Stephen? Do you have an unanswerable question for me?
Well, I would tell you that, Phil, really unanswerable questions are a little bit hard to come by.
Yes.
Okay, truly unanswerable questions. I mean, think of hard questions that you might say, well, these are really, I can't give you an answer to right now, okay? Will we ever colonize the solar system, ever colonize the galaxy? Are there other civilizations in the galaxy? Are we going to ever be able to find a workaround around the light speed problem if we were going to colonize the galaxy?
Yes.
Things like that. I mean, you'd think, well, those are unanswerable. No, they're not. Eventually,
those are hard questions, but not unanswered.
They're hard questions, and eventually there's going to be an answer. Like, for example, if it's truly impossible in this universe to come up with a way to warp, you know, to do a warp drive or something, then we are stuck at slower than light speeds, regardless, right? So
right.
That's the answer. That's right. It may not be the answer we want, but if that's the answer, that's the answer. And so, yeah, those are tough questions, but they're not truly unanswerable. So I would say that many of the questions that Thomas Frey brought up, we've at one time or another, we've come to those unanswerable questions ourselves, and we've talked about it. The question of why should there be anything at all, I came to and wrote a little blog post about a while back, but but of course, without an answer. And so,
you still got 800 words out.
So we,
it, right?
You know, we independently have come up with some of these unanswerable questions ourselves. But it's, I would say, the one that he did not hit in his 10 questions is, you know, the consciousness problem. He didn't. None of the he might have been coming at it, from a distance, but he never really got into what is consciousness and what is this, and can we ever, repeat it digitally or things like that. He did not get into that question. So I don't know that. How would you like to phrase that question, Phil, and get into the consciousness problem?
Well, I actually had that one on my list too. And I wrote it as, why are we conscious? But I want to throw that out, and I want to say the question is, what is consciousness, right?
That's better phrased. Thank you.
Apparently unanswerable question. What is consciousness? Well, you know, what's interesting about that is that it seems to, if you try to answer it, and it's difficult to, obviously, we got, you know, philosophers, AI researchers, neuroscientists, and many others working hard on trying to answer that question. What exactly is consciousness? But ultimately, that is a problem that we ran into earlier in trying to answer some of these other questions. When we were talking about the nature of time, you run into this issue of the fact that we are having these subjective experiences, right? That ultimately what consciousness is a set of subjective experiences, right? It's a series. Actually, to put it in those words, breaks it down into particles, which it really doesn't occur in particles. Consciousness is subjective experience, right? That's what it is. I'm conscious right now. I'm having a subjective experience of being me, of talking to you, right, of standing here. And to describe it is not to define it, and is not even to help define it. The only person who could hear that definition and start to resonate with it would be another conscious being, right? So you almost come to this, well, I know it when I see it, right? That's what consciousness is, but that's not much of an answer now, is it?
It's, you know, you could answer that the consciousness is a threshold of intelligence, a certain point where, you know, let's say you start with a rock and then you start adding intelligence to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point you add enough intelligence where this former rock can consider that I'm here. And it begins to make judgments about where here is and what here is and what it is in that, you know, here. And I would say consciousness is that point where it's where intelligence kind of loops back on itself. It realizes that it is having thoughts, and I would think that some animals have some level of intelligence because they seem to have some subjective experience, but there's a point at which below which you don't really see that in insects you don't really see it.
I wonder. I mean, that's a pretty good answer. That's one of the great standard answers. But I wonder about that.
Yeah.
On a couple of grounds. One is, often my conscious experience is not thinking anything, right? There's no intelligence involved. I'm just feeling.
You're just there.
Yeah, I'm just feeling something, right? It's just like it's an emotional,
especially prior to
feeling,
coffee in the morning, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, or it's a set of physical sensations, which makes me think that it's just the subjective experience of something happening to me rather than something I'm manufacturing. And of course, there are these more out there thoughts of consciousness, but it's kind of the basic fabric of the universe that we happen to be good receptors of it, but that in fact it permeates everything, right? That even your humble rock has got some little share of it. We've just got these brains that happen to really, you know, like act as magnets or radio receivers or something like that, and that we're just really good processors of consciousness or really good focal points of consciousness rather than being the manufacturers of it, right? Last time Jim Elvidge was on the show, our good friend who takes us into odd places in conversations, that was one of the things that he suggested. And, you know, that's all entirely possible. You know, I can't rule any of that out because you just kind of seem to go in circles anytime you try to get a handle on what it is. The building it up from the parts, which you just did, is the closest we can come to like a purely rational, materialistic explanation of consciousness. And I feel that it doesn't really, I don't know, it just doesn't satisfy, right? I hear it and I feel like, yeah, but there's the consciousness part is missing. You know what I mean? It's like it seems to somehow get it without getting it somehow. And that's frustrating. But I guess that's why they call it the hard problem. Isn't that where we always end up on this anyway?
Well, and we have talked about it in terms of an AI. You know, you could program an AI. You know, you could program your laptop, Phil, to insist that it is sentient and that it's having an experience. You know, you could write the code. If someone asks, you say yes, I'm sentient. If someone asks,
right,
you're God, you say yes. Anyway,
that's right.
You can
always
program your computer to say that, but does it make it true? We insist that we're conscious and but does that necessarily mean anything?
But you can take it from me that I really am. Okay. If everybody listening would just, you know, come away with that.
Realize that Phil is having a subjective experience.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you guys are, but if you are, just know that I am. Okay.
You know, and it's a funny thing. We have to assume that other people are having subjective experiences because of our own subjective experience. And
right,
to do otherwise is there lies madness, right?
Well, if you think they're not, then you just become a total psychopath, right? I mean,
right.
You view yourself as the lone,
people
real
aren't
entity
truly
in the
just
universe.
Then a means to your ends at that point, and that's what a psychopath is. So
that is not a good way to look at the world at all.
It's the exact opposite of the golden rule. You know, why observe the golden rule if everyone else is just automatons around you, right? So I have to say that
best answer to what is consciousness is, it's this thing we have to assume exists in order to have conversations about consciousness or any other subject, right? It's the thing we know we're having, and we give everybody else credit for having, because
to do otherwise is, you know, it's, there lies nothing good. So
I podcast, so therefore I am. It's just, you know, it's it is fundamental to existence. And
you remember,
you're just a dog.
I'm going in a strange direction with this, but you remember the second Indiana Jones movie where they have that incredible ride out of the airplane and the life raft and they end up going down that river and everything else.
Yes.
Of course, they wash up there in India, right? And
yeah.
And there's this shaman out there, and he puts his hands together and bows towards Indiana, right?
Right.
And Indiana does the same thing, puts his hands together and bows towards him. The reason that Hindu people greet each other that way is this:
mm-hmm.
recognizing the divine in the other person.
Right.
It's a recognition of the divine. And I think it's, you put it in more modern terms, it's the recognition of a sentient being, a person that has, that is of the same worth as myself, and is deserving of being treated well, you know, to whom I will apply the golden rule, you know, I will treat you as I would like to be treated. So I don't. It's sort of a strange way of going off on that, but yeah, consciousness.
Well, I like that. I think
we have to assume in others because we feel like we have it in ourselves.
Yeah, you think about consciousness as this kind of divine spark that recognizes itself in others, right? And that is I think that is a totally legit interpretation of that gesture, which you see in, as you mentioned, Hindu and also Buddhist cultures. It's a nice greeting. The conscious mind, the living mind, acknowledges the other living mind. So yeah, what is consciousness? I don't know. It's this thing we all got, and lets us have conversations. I got one. Okay, let me ask one. Do human accomplishments have any meaning? We covered that on Wednesday. I got a question for you, Stephen.
Okay.
What is meaning? What does meaning mean?
Mean.
Okay.
What does meaning mean?
I think this is an unanswerable question. You can't answer it without using the word.
And then there's stuff that sucks, right? We all know the difference.
Dude,
you know?
That's not meaning. That's awesomeness. You're not defining. Yeah.
You know, a fire that provides warmth is a good thing.
Yeah.
When you put your hand in it, that sucks.
Right. Okay. Good.
And so,
I didn't feel that was an unanswerable question. That you're you're correct. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so what is meaning? It's I guess meaning is finding the right balance between the warmth and the burn. I don't know.
No, I mean, what does it mean when we say something means something? You know,
yeah.
if we say that a warmth
word
more means
things
something
that are valuable to us, and we want less of things that are terrible to us, right? And so when we say, you know, do our lives have meaning, we want to give the world something of value, perhaps, and not leave a bunch of crap behind that the world or history has to deal with because you were an awful person, right?
I'm sorry, Stephen. I think you're saying value. I don't think you're saying meaning.
Okay.
I'm calling you on this one. I don't think that's meaning. But except I can say that a person would almost necessarily make those two things almost equal, right? You would almost always say, well, if my life is to be valuable, it must have meaning. And if my life is to have meaning, there must be value, right? I mean, you wouldn't value your life unless you thought it meaningful. Or you wouldn't think it meaningful unless you thought it value. But the idea that one thing means something else, right? That if you look at text on a page, and that corresponds to a bunch of ideas that were in somebody's head, and then they typed them out, right? That is a very strange, almost metaphysical relationship right there between a physical object and a group of ideas. When we say, you know, one thing means something else, and we take that same idea and we apply it to something like our lives, you know, we say life has meaning. You almost have to presuppose either God or some kind of, much greater metaphysical substrate that we're existing in for the word even to. Even to apply to anything. I don't think people mean much of anything when they say life has meaning, except maybe they do mean value, right? They say my life has value, and therefore, I'll be a good person, or I'll take care of the people around us. But, you know, did it actually mean something? Did it mean something the way text on a page, right, corresponds to something at a different level, right? That's the question. And, you know, I don't even know. What is that relationship between the text on the page and the ideas that it expresses? Do you see what I'm getting at? It's almost like there's this, like, weird supernatural thing going on, and we never even notice it, but it's all around us all the time. I'm freaking myself out with this, I must say. go ahead. I'm sorry. I've said too much.
I'm reminded, for some reason, of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who, was living in the Stone Age, I mean, it was food, drink, safety, sex. That was the meaning of life. I mean, and, you know, and try not to die, right?
Yes, yes.
And, and as... hopefully, as civilization has progressed some, that, you know, we find meaning beyond those basic things, right? The tip of Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid was self-actualization. Realization of personal potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth, and peak experiences. He was actually at the end of his life working on a sixth level. Let's see here. I'm just real quickly. If someone has achieved self-actualization, then what motivates them? And he was in the sixth level being intrinsic values, for example, truth, goodness, perfection, excellence, fairness, justice, etc. Unlike the other levels, the sixth level transcends self-interest, considering wider holistic matters for the greater good. And I, you know, I think that you know, every philosopher, you know, of value, you know, Jesus and all the rest have, you know, ultimately that's, you know, you go beyond self-interest, you know, that's and find ways of living for others as well. And I don't know, maybe that's meaning.
Okay, has a meaning, maybe that's it, right? It's to work your way up that hierarchy and get to that top level, because ultimately those things, even self-actualization, as you point out,
it's still self-centered, right?
It's self-focused, but you get to these externalities, right? These you know, higher values, other people, and maybe actual, you know, like greater truths that exist outside of ourselves. Then at that point, maybe you've hit something that is similar to the correspondence between words on a page and the actual ideas that the words express, right? And maybe right. At that point, and I'm kind of drawing out my analogy more than I need to, but we're like the words on the page, and the meaning they express is like those greater values, right? And so that is what it means to say life has meaning. Oh, wow. You know, we may have actually answered this question, Stephen. You've actually answered one of the unanswerable questions. What is the meaning of life?
Can't live
Taco
by bread
Tuesday,
alone.
You know?
That's you know, it's you have to go beyond what your basic needs are to find meaning.
There it is. Yeah,
it's good stuff. I like that.
The higher correspondence between existence and some greater, but that has to exist, right? There has to be some greater level of reality. There has to be more than just you, in order for there to be meaning, right? You couldn't find meaning just in your own stuff. Excellent. All right. Do you have another one?
I really don't, Phil. Like I say, these impossible questions or unanswerable questions are hard to come by. There's plenty of hard questions, but unanswerable questions, there's just a few of them.
Yeah. Well, the other one that I had was what is meaning mean? And then the related one is what is the purpose of life? But I feel like we've answered that one in coming to the definition of meaning. I don't know. I'm going to think about this. We might have to do a whole other series of shows just on what it means to have meaning, because I think what you've answered is the purpose of life, right? To the best extent that anyone can, is to work through that hierarchy and get to the point where you've transcended Taco Tuesday, right? And you've transcended
as great as Taco Tuesday is, you know.
Yeah, well, it's awesome.
You can go beyond that.
Yes, you can. You can go beyond that, and you can go beyond. I want to be a certified public accountant. You know, whatever the self-actualizing stuff is, and you get to this. You know, you get to the fundamental questions. Ultimately, the purpose of life maybe is to go up against these unanswerable questions, right? To try to figure out what those intrinsic values are. Let's try to figure out what the truth that's kind of hiding over the horizon, figure out what that is. That's what we're here to do. Even if you believe that someone put us here to do that, then that makes perfect sense. But even if nobody put us here to do that, it's obviously what we were optimized to do. It's what we've evolved to do. And so the purpose of life, ultimately, Stephen, is to do a show called The World Transformed, isn't it? I mean, that's what...
That's right.
That's where we end up with that. And so we'll leave the unanswerable questions, and we're just going to move right over into Other Geek. One topic for Other Geek that did occur to me on Wednesday's show was, although I don't have one for every question, there are some good movies to be considered when dealing with some of these questions. I had mentioned the movie Roxanne, which had a glib answer to the, size and scope of the universe. You mentioned Bicentennial Man, a Robin Williams movie, which provides some perspective on death. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom gives us a little bit of perspective
on the problem of consciousness, oddly enough. I wouldn't have seen that coming. Thanks for making that connection. And I thought of one other, based on the conversation we've had right now. Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. Do you think that one will get people any closer to...
tell us why, Phil.
No, just because that's the name of the movie. That's really the only reason. Yeah. Actually, that's one of my least favorite Monty Python movies, I must say. Never been my never been my fave. But I was just throwing that out there as based on the title. Maybe if we watch it again with these questions,
there's
got to
be something in there.
Yeah, they will start to they'll start to occur. How about you, Stephen? Any other? Can you think of any other movies that apply to our questions over the last few shows?
Well, I did a list one time way back when on the Speculist of great sci-fi movies and that try to tackle big topics. And one of the ones I listed was Gattaca. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
And it deals with what does it mean to be human when you can engineer what a human is, right? You got people that are referred to as faith-borns, that weren't engineered, right? Being sort of a permanent underclass in this world of people that are engineered, right?
Right.
And then one faith-born, and it's the story of one faith-born person, an engineered person who, attempts to assume the identity of someone of a engineered person so as to be able to live his dream, and which includes going into outer space and everything. And what a fantastic story that is. And it deals with some very deep and hard problems associated with genetic engineering and everything. And I fantastic movie, highly recommend it. And
that movie gives you a good starting ground for asking what does it mean to be human, right? What is being human really all about? And it's a really good movie, so it works on both those levels. Kind of like the original.
It's surprisingly touching. I mean, it explains how he was able to swim further than his brother, who was engineered to be able to swim, forever practically. And, the reason was he left nothing. He left nothing for the swim back, right?
Right.
Sure.
Right. He used it all on the swim there. It's a good movie. And I was just thinking that maybe The Matrix, the original The Matrix, is another one that that
you're careful to say the original, and I agree.
You shouldn't have to, right? You should just say The Matrix, and we should pretend that's the only one, right? But when you talk about that movie, that one raises some really profound questions about what reality means, right? All this discussion we've been having about subjective experience takes on a new dimension when you look at it from that perspective. Of course, one of the great questions we talk about on the show, it didn't come up in the unanswerable questions, is whether we're living in the real universe or whether we're living in some made up simulated universe. But that's a good one too. In terms of broadening our perspectives, kind of opening our minds up a little bit in the same way that the questions have. Well, if you don't have any others, or did you have another one you wanted to throw out there?
I think that's it. We're kind of out of time too, so.
We've done it. We've asked and answered to the best of our ability the unanswerable questions, and we've had some fun with other geek in the process. Thank you all for being with us. Stephen, it was great fun doing this. Look forward to being back with you next week when we'll do three brand new shows. And until next time,
live to see it.